Hi there, it's Pastor Bill Woods again up here in Sun Valley, Arizona. I hope things are going well for you. I wanted to talk to you today about the battle still rages. I'm talking about the Battle of the Ages and how it has raged on and on throughout world history. Hallmark is putting on their annual Christmas in July series, and I've always got kind of a kick out of the fact that they try to have something so tender and nice. They have all the trappings of Christmas with the Christmas trees and decorations, and always there's some kind of a romance going, and it's just kind of one of those soft type programs that just make you feel good, but they miss the entire meaning of Christmas. Most people don't really understand the significance of Jesus coming into our world or of what is represented in our quiet worship of baby Jesus and the complex story of the Nativity. Why'd he come? We read in John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." There's a side to this story in Christ's arrival that we usually fail to recognize. We forget the battle that raged through the ages just to get Jesus here to become our Savior. Jesus was willing to leave heaven, to step into history, become a man, and to be our Savior and save us from sin and hell. So Jesus, represented man because he was son of Mary and represented God. He is the Son of God. He was opposed by demonic forces every step of the way because he was divine and he was here on a special mission to save people from sin. Let's look at history, or more accurate, his story. Here's a scripture we don't usually associate with the birth of Christ. In Revelation chapter 12, 3 and 4, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and seven diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born." It's intensely interesting to read how Satan tried to prevent the birth of Jesus Christ, and then after his birth to destroy him before he could reach the cross and purchase our redemption. Satan had accomplished the fall of Adam and Eve in his effort to destroy God's creation. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 15, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, then but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now Satan found himself under the curse of God and was told that the seed of woman should bruise his head. This was a prophecy saying that Jesus would eventually come. Well, this aroused the enmity of Satan. He was determined to stop the birth of this promised seed, or if he couldn't stop it, he'd destroy the seed after he was born. Watch Satan's line of attack trying to stop the promised seed, the seed that would destroy his rebellious work. Abel was born to Adam and Eve. He was supposed to be the one that the seed was to come through. Satan schemed for his destruction and finally got his brother Cain to kill him in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Then it says the sons of God, which were the fallen angels, doubtless at Satan's instigation, married the daughters of men, Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. Their sin and the evil character of their offspring, the Nephilim, caused God to send the flood to destroy life on earth. This fit into Satan's plan. It would be a victory for him and a defeat for God if God had to destroy his creation. God decided to spare the human race and begin again with his one righteous servant, Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. God spared Noah and his family. After the flood, Noah planted a vineyard. Now, up until now, because of the canopy around the earth and all the things that were so ideal in the garden, there was no such thing as fermentation. But after Noah planted his vineyard and the atmosphere had changed, the grapes fermented, and then Noah got drunk on the wine. The result was the curse of Canaan, the son of Ham, Genesis chapter 9, 18 through 27. After the flood, the people began to multiply, and Satan filled their hearts with pride and presumption. Now, God had told them to spread throughout the world and to put the population all around the world, but instead, they decided they would stand together. They built the Tower of Babel because they felt so proud of themselves, and it caused confusion of tongues, breaking up the unity of the race. Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9. Can you imagine going to work and seeing the guy that you worked with yesterday, and you try to talk to him and he tries to talk back, and you couldn't understand each other because your languages have changed? Well, this would cause enough problem that the whole project had to be scrapped. God called Abraham, and the fight narrowed down to his seed, but Sarah was barren, Genesis chapter 16, 1. God waited until they were too old to have children. He promised them they would have children. He promised Abraham that his seed would bless every family on the earth, but the child hadn't come. Sarah was 65 and barren. Abraham was 75, and they had no children. Satan probably played a role in Sarah's inability to conceive. That's when Abraham and Sarah played right into Satan's hands. They decided, since they had no children and God made this promise, they would help God out by having Abraham have relations with Hagar, Sarah's servant, and he would have a child with her. Oops, that was a tragic mistake that we're still paying for today. Finally, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, God caused Sarah to conceive and Isaac was born, furthering the promised seed. Well, when Isaac was a young man, Satan challenged God to test Abraham's faith by sacrificing Isaac. This was similar to the test that Job went through when Satan challenged God about Job's faith and obedience in Job chapter 1, 6 through 12, and Job 2, 3 through 6. The plan to destroy Isaac failed. God saw Abraham was willing to obey, and God intervened and provided a ram for the sacrifice. Genesis 22, 11 through 13. Isaac married Rebekah, who was barren, probably at the instigation of Satan again. Finally, she conceived, and they had twins, and they named them Esau and Jacob. Satan stirred enmity between the brothers, hoping to cause Esau to kill Jacob, a replay of Cain and Abel from Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. And then Satan, Jacob, and he had 12 sons, and the youngest one at the time was Joseph. There was one born after him, but Benjamin. But Joseph was the youngest son, but Jacob favored him because he was Rachel's son, and Rachel had died. And so Jacob gave him a coat of many colors, and he just really put him at the head of the family. Well, the other brothers resented it, and Jacob thought he could use his hatred. And so Satan thought he could use the hatred, not Jacob. But anyhow, Jacob sent Joseph out to take some supplies to his brothers. They saw him coming. They threw him in a pit. They sold him as a slave. He was taken into Egypt, where he worked in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife made false accusations that he had tried to molest her. He was thrown into prison. In prison, he met two men that had been servants of Pharaoh. One was the cup bearer that was the taster of Pharaoh's wine before he drank it in his food. The other was the baker. They both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams. The cupbearer would be restored to be in Pharaoh's court. The baker would be hanged in 3 days. Well, when the cupbearer was taken out of prison, he promised he would remember Joseph down there, but he never did. So Joseph spent another 2 years down in the prison, and Pharaoh started having dreams and didn't know how to interpret them. So finally, the cupbearer said, well, there's a man in prison named Joseph that could probably tell you about your dreams. Well, now, Satan had hoped to starve the family out of the worldwide famine that was coming. Joseph told Pharaoh that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And Satan was going to use that to destroy the family, but God had sent Joseph on ahead into Egypt, and he salvaged the family and was really the savior of basically the world at that time. Satan stirred enmity between the Jews and the Egyptians later on. I mean, the Pharaoh that was there that had the dream had died off and generations had passed. Now the Jews had become a great nation, and Pharaoh got worried that they were going to take over Egypt, so he enslaved them. And so people cried out to God and all. When the time came for Moses to be born, Satan inspired Pharaoh to kill all the baby boys at birth, hoping to wipe out the male line of descendants altogether. Exodus chapter 2, 5 through 10. And so it continued until the death of King Jehoshaphat. His son Jehoram killed all his brothers with a sword, reducing the seed down to one life. 2 Chronicles 21, 13. Jehoram had children. The Arabians killed all his children but one, Ahaziah, the youngest. 2 Chronicles 21, 17. Ahaziah had children. 2 Chronicles 22, 1. These were slain by their grandma, Athaliah. She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and was probably more wicked than Jezebel had even been. And she thought that she got all of them in 2 Chronicles 22, 10 through 12. I don't imagine that they honored her much on Mother's Day. But God interceded and saved Joash, 2 Chronicles 22, 11 and 12. During the captivity, Satan tried to destroy the whole Hebrew nation at the hands of Haman. Esther chapter 3, 5 through 9. The story's too long. God sent prophets to warn people to turn to him. The last prophet was, I heard one guy say Malachi, an Italian prophet, was actually Malachi. And then God went silent. And for 400 years, there was no word from the Lord. But he was still faithful, and he knew what was happening to his people. Sometimes we think God's silence means that he's deserted us, But trust him. He's still aware of your circumstances. During those 400 years, Antiochus Epiphanes came in with a persecution of the Jewish people. And in 168 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes invaded Jerusalem and marched into the temple, set up a statue to Zeus, and sacrificed a pig on the altar of incense. This sparked the Maccabean revolt as the Jews fought to remove the sacrilege from the temple. Under the leadership of the Maccabees, the Jews drove Antiochus and his army out and gained control of their land for about 100 years. In 63 BC, the Roman general Pompey captured the Holy Land and brought it under the Roman rule. At last, the promised seed was Jesus was born, and Satan couldn't prevent his birth, but he'd destroy him before he could get to the cross. Satan prompted Herod to kill all the male children at Bethlehem under 2 years old in an effort to stop the promised seed. God warned Joseph in a dream to move his family to Egypt. God is always one step ahead of Satan. When Jesus entered the ministry, Satan met him in the wilderness with some super temptations. They were the same three temptations that he'd used on Adam and Eve: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He wanted Jesus to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. And if he could trick Jesus into yielding to one of these temptations, he would disqualify him from being the Messiah. Satan tried to get the townspeople to throw Jesus over a cliff after he'd proclaimed to them who he was, that he was the Messiah. Luke chapter 4, verse 29. The two storms on Galilee were attempts to kill Jesus. You don't rebuke a thing, you rebuke a person. And that's what Jesus did. He rebuked what Satan was doing out there on the sea. Satan tried to use the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees to destroy Jesus. Finally, he found Judas, a disgruntled and disloyal disciple who would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Satan tried to destroy Jesus later in the Garden of Gethsemane. The physical and spiritual torment and exhaustion that Jesus was going through in Gethsemane as he prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And he got under such pressure that he sweat great drops of blood. The arrest, the flogging, the crucifixion, all these things were orchestrated by Satan to try to stop the seed from becoming the Messiah. After his death, Jesus spent 3 days in hell. Jesus had to experience everything a sinner does in order to fully pay the price of our sin. He had to bear our sins and our punishments in order to be our Savior. Psalm 16:10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Acts 22:27 says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." The Apostles' Creed mentions this. It says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." Amen. Jesus didn't come to do a halfway job. He came to completely redeem us from sin and give us total victory. Satan tried to destroy the Jews during the Holocaust because he knows they're a key part of the final battle of the last days. 6 million Jews were slaughtered, but he failed to destroy them all, and the Jews later established the nation of Israel in 1948. The history of the church has been one long struggle. Satan is still trying to defeat God's purpose, but Satan will fail at every point. Like with Balaam, Satan tried to destroy God's people so He has managed to get the church to compromise, hoping to destroy its usefulness to God's purpose. Listen to how Paul warned Timothy about the conditions of the end-time church. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is to be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And Paul was even more specific as he emphasized what was to happen in our day. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, it sounds kind of like today's current news reports online, on the radio and TV programs and in the newspapers, doesn't it? Satan wasn't able to stop Jesus Christ's birth or to keep him from paying for our salvation at the atonement. And he hasn't been able to destroy the Jews or the true church. But he's hard at work trying to destroy as much of God's work as he possibly can before he runs out of time and is cast into hell for all eternity. He wants to take as many people to hell with him as he possibly can. You can see the results of his work. A sterile, non-effective church compromising their convictions, preaching a watered-down gospel, tickling people's ears, telling them what they want to hear rather than giving them God's message of repentance and salvation. Very few preachers are God-ordained today. I long to see an old-fashioned, God-ordained revival saturated by the Holy Spirit. This generation doesn't know what that is because they've never seen one. Our society is torn apart by a world wanting Marxism or communism, which most people don't understand the danger. Using the vehicles of climate change and critical race theory, the Black Lives Matter movement, and all lives matter to God. Panic over COVID-19, which closed churches, schools, businesses for nearly a year, crippled our economy and our workforce. We have rigged elections and crooked politicians who are more interested in feathering their own nest instead of representing we the people. We have confusion over sex instead of just being the two that God had created, male and female. Now we think there are 57 different kinds of sexes, and people are living such horrible, terrible lives of immorality. And it's just running rampant. What's happening is dividing our nation beyond recovery. The great reset predicted to happen soon will destroy our currency and finish off our economy and leave us as a third world nation. It's time to wake up, people. It's time to pray. It's time to turn back to God. The world is being set up for a great tribulation described in God's book of Revelation. Satan is seeing how easy it'll be to control the whole population. There's more demonic activity happening today than has happened in any previous generation except the generation when Jesus Christ walked the earth. The devil is still using the same temptations to neutralize Christians, but I remind you that 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is still available to help us overcome temptation. Listen, this is no time to get discouraged, because all the signs tell us that Jesus is coming in the rapture soon to rescue his saints. He's coming to take us out of this mess. It seems that please take my advice. Be ready when Jesus comes. You won't have time to prepare when it begins happening. The best thing you can do is prepare to meet him now. This world seems to be spinning out of control, but God knows what's going on, and God's going to protect his own. Remember, God's love is constrained Jesus to leave heaven the first time, to step into the human race, knowing full well what he had to do, and is doing it because he loves you. Listen to the song that was made. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to paradise. Once again, that chorus, if that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this, if that isn't love. The battle of the ages is still raging on, but you don't have to be a casualty. God has victory for you. God has forgiveness of sin. God wants to adopt you into his family, and God has a home in heaven for you. Will you accept it? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I would pray that we would begin to realize again the days we're living in are our critical days, days when Satan's trying to destroy so much. But help us, Lord, to realize that we can have the peace and forgiveness that only you can give. I pray that those that are listening here will make their peace with God and be ready when you come to take your church home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, you can reach me by writing to Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029, or by sending an email to lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. Well, God bless you. I went a little bit long last week, and today I'll try to get it cut back down, and we'll see you later. We'll pray for you.